I wouldn't say it's encouraging at this point. I mean, he's probably ahead of where most would be. But it's, you know, I don't want to rule him out at this point, but it's getting close. It is. And for a guy that, I mean, he's, I mean, it's like not an option for him. We'll have to tell him, like, literally, you can't go. Like, he's that type of player that, and that's what you want. That, to me, is speaks to his character. It's one of the reasons he's here. When you have guys like that, that they want to be out there. They want to be out there for their teammates, for their, you know, for their team. It's, they put themselves, they might put themselves a little bit at risk for the team. And that's, I mean, like I said, that's a credit to him. Sheard, it is encouraging. Still the technical part of it, I don't have a great feel for. You know, Joe throws a lot of big words at me, but there's a outside chance he goes this weekend. Look great in the uniform, I'll tell you that. He came in today, I think, naturally a little bit sore, just first time, you know, being on the turf and getting the reps that he got. I mean, we had him go for, you get a couple reps each team period and then shut him down after a little bit. But overall, I thought he was solid. He, a couple hiccups here and there with some of the mental stuff, but I think that's to be expected. But running routes and, you know, catching balls and just he's about where you would expect him to be, maybe a little bit ahead of that. Yes. Yeah, it's a progression. So we'll extend him a little bit more. Just see how he responds to it. I think they did some work after practice yesterday. I'm not sure. I had gone up to watch the tape, and I'm sure they'll get some more today. We just have to be careful with Brian when Josh is out there, that he doesn't develop tunnel vision. That he takes, you know, that the ball goes to where the read takes him, because obviously I think Atlanta's well aware of Josh and his ability and. We'll set their plans accordingly. We got to go out and execute. Some of it's we can't just say, "Hey, listen, we have no chance to defend the run." Now, there are going to be some situations where we're against a pretty good passing attack that we will, as I've talked about this before, we might technically be in some lighter boxes and concede some rushing yards, but it falls back on. You know, can't be successful with guys that aren't out there. So it's true. Next man up. We got to step up and execute around them. And when you're missing guys, that the guys that are out there understand that they have to up their level that much more. Yes. Still, it was a lot of little things, and they executed and did some good things as well. I'm not going to put it all on us. They out executed us and. There are some things that some of our things were personnel, some of them were technique, some of them were scheme. No, I mean, it was yesterday practice. Every time he was out there, the ball somehow mysteriously went his way. We just have to be like a kid with a new toy at Christmas. So we just, you know, and Brian gets it, that he's smart enough to know that he's got to go whether Josh is out there or not, that he's got to go where the read takes him. Well, this goes back to when I was at Buffalo and we brought him in for the free agent visit, and because he had kind of fallen off the map a little bit, was getting a little bit older, was in Miami, then next thing you know, just had a resurgence and got to free agency, and we asked him, you know, where's the fountain of youth? And here's a guy that's on a very, very unique diet, is very mindful of sleeping habits, is what he does in the weight room, what he puts into his body, what goes on his body. Very much in tune with it, and he's been able to extend his career that way. So, I mean, if you engage him in a conversation about it, you know, pack a lunch, because he'll throw some stuff out there, and it won't be a short conversation. You adjust some, and we'll also up Tank's reps a little bit, just so we can kind of job share that a little bit, as opposed to just. Throwing it all on Craig or all on Chris. I think all three of them do a very good job for Chris Tabor, and I think to just not kind of share that and allow them to still be effective would be a negative thing. So I think guys have to step up. I mean, that's life in the NFL. That once you get past the first couple weeks, it's rare that you have a week where at least at one or two spots you don't have a guy that that started the season as a backup out there for you? I think it'll be helpful, but as I said before, that Hawk's proven that I think the strength of our pass game has been the ability to move those guys around. And we still are very much in the early stages of seeing where Josh is. Maybe 2-3 games from now, when it's settled in, they're settled into specific roles. But the one thing Kyle likes to do is he doesn't like to lock guys into certain positions where Josh is always the weak side receiver, or Miles is always you know, we call it the X and the Z. Sometimes from a defensive standpoint, that makes it a little bit more difficult sometimes with coverage when some guy isn't the X or the Z full time. Yeah, I don't get into the when you talk about the overall rankings, because it's a lot of it's yardage, and you got to take that in context. Sometimes you get a game where you'll give up a lot of yards, but you've gained a lead and you're willing to concede some as the game goes on. So we don't get too wrapped up in that. I mean, this is what they do schematically is challenging. They have some good players over there. I know they're a little bit banged up, and we have to do a good job of identifying what they're in and executing. Well, I think there's a value, but I mean, unless you find a guy that's the elite of the elite, I think it's very difficult to be a one running back team, especially the way that we'll use them and as much as we will run. That I think tailback by committee, I think that insulates you from injury or from somebody having an off game where you can feed the hot hand. That I think if you go in every game with, you know, with two and then a third that can still, you could potentially still roll a third, or there's some special teams value there. I think that's, for us, would be the ideal scenario. Yeah, they do, but it's that's part about buying into a team concept, that what's best for the individual isn't always what's best for the team. We all think that they are quality NFL backs, and I think that they're headed in the right direction, but they also have to, it's part of the process, the maturation process, becoming a professional. How do they study when they leave the building? How are they taking care of themselves? What do they do in the off season? What's their workout regimen like? You don't last in this league if you don't handle yourself out of the building correctly. But these are both guys that we feel have the potential to be quality NFL backs, but time will tell. Baltimore. I'm still scarred by it. Baltimore, 2007. I think we were down about three corners. We had Corey Ivey, who was about like 5'6", 5'7", who was started the season as our fourth or fifth corner. He was our nickel. He ended up being our number one for a good part of the year. So that's very glaring when it's at that position. You know, like I said, Rex had always said, you know, two positions get you beat the fastest, quarterback and cornerback. So that's the only time I can recall being that, you know, going through that many guys, and that was a much more critical position. But I think Anthony Weaver's done a good job of getting those guys ready. I think Ray and his group have been able to find us some guys to come in and contribute, and that they all know that, you know, we got to step up and perform. I think so. I think the West situation was just a. And one that he knew it when it happened, and that he didn't handle it well, and that was a lesson learned. I think Crowell's, for the most part, has handled it, but that, to me, that's part of the maturation process for both of them. Yeah, given they'll put a lot of wide receivers out there, three wide receiver sets, four wide receiver sets, and with the amount that they throw the ball. I could see, and a lot of it depends on their plan and how they plan to attack us, but there are some scenarios where I could see Justin being out there. Yeah, probably a better question for Tabes. I know he's got a committee that he can use, but we have Gabriel can do it. Gilbert will get reps in practice, but I don't know if that's something we're ready to do just yet. But we won't. Still not a definite that Marlon's going to miss. That'll likely go right down to the end. Just a variety of things. Just how he's looked in practice, hitting it is part of it. It's been a number of things. I mean, he's in the mix to do it. But I think Marlon's done, when Marlon's been in there, he's done a good job for us. It was a shame, you know, the way he hit the one the other night was a shame. Shame it got called back, but he certainly shows you the ability. He's very decisive, and he knows schematically where it's supposed to go, if it's blocked correctly, where it's supposed to hit, and just has had a better feel for it. It's still way too early to make that prediction. I got asked yesterday about it, football shape versus conditioning. I think it's a lot to ask of anybody to not have football for pushing 90 days and to go out and play. The temptation would be to, hey, let's have him out there for 75 snaps, but I don't know if that's the most prudent approach.